Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. So feel free to get online. We have three lines open, 800-966-WTIC and 522-WTIC. So get online. I got a story for you guys that I'm hoping you might help me with. So this is a story of you've heard the stories of your dog eats your homework, right? And you know, of course you didn't believe it. I've got a little Havanese at home, and that little guy will eat your homework. He's got a paper fetish. Don't know why. But I digress. This is a story about the cloud eating your homework. So we have a good friend of the family, and this student enrolled online at a local community college and using their Blackboard software, which is a pretty common package, I guess, for a cloud-based educational system. And he enrolled in four classes online at a local community college, the same one that I went and got my motorcycle license when I had my midlife crisis. So he's online taking these courses and logging in, doing the work. His mom sees him doing the work, sees him submitting papers, sees him doing the work. And the end of the semester comes, right? We're done with that semester, the fall semester, and he gets four Fs. And of course, the family's pretty upset. What were you doing? Well, he says, I was doing the work. So they all hop in the car and go down to the community college and say, what's going on? Why did you give him Fs? Well, he didn't do the work. And they said, yes, he did. Well, they say, well, I see that he logged in September, but that was it. After that, he didn't really do the work. And they said, if you can prove that he was online using your browser history or something, we might come up with some sort of arrangement. Because, of course, he spent thousands of dollars on this cloud-based virtual education from a local community college, and he got bupkis. We looked at his local browser history, which, of course, is cleared every time you clear your Chrome because of a privacy setting he had there. Nothing wrong with that. We looked in the cloud, looked at Google's information, tried to recover his browser history that was deleted using tools that you can get from EaseUS to try to get your data back. He's going through line by line to try to find examples of his participation online. So my question to you guys out there, because the school's like, oh, this never happens. You know, he logged in and only did it in September, but that was it. This never happens. And I wonder if you're out there in Radio Land, 50,000-watt news talk radio station that this is, do you have any examples of your kids getting burned like this from this Blackboard software with virtual online courses? Please email me at gethelp@tabinc.com or call in today, 800-966-WTIC. And I'd love to hear if you've dealt with this yourself. Now, this is the point. This is one of the great reasons why I'm down on the cloud, right? This poor customer of education has to prove he took the class. Do you think the school called the people writing the checks for the tuition once? Hey, why did you pay us thousands of dollars and only show up in a couple classes in September? Nope. They didn't call. Email. Do you think they emailed them? Hey, buddy, you're giving us thousands of bucks here. Why aren't you coming online to do the work? Do you think they did that? Nope. Now, remember, these are colleges who care about the students. They care about your success, right? Baloney.
They care about your tuition.
Exactly. If they cared about your success or cared about you as a student, they would have done the least little thing. What happened to you? You fell off the planet. Well, we've got your money, and you're not participating. You want to know what they said they did? They messaged him within this Blackboard software. Now, he was logged into Blackboard. He was online doing the work through this Blackboard software. Obviously, they have corruption in their user configurations or the software itself. Somewhere that database got corrupted. He was submitting work. He was doing the work. They were messaging, hey, where are you? But they didn't actually email him or call.
There's a defect in their whole process. The fact that he can submit some work online and not get an online receipt.
Exactly.
Confirmation.
Right.
Okay. That's
that
number
been,
one.
That would have been perfect. He could have said, look, here are all the receipts of my submissions. Do you think they do that? No.
And the other thing is if he misses X number of classes, where's the notification
right
to an email saying, hey,
where are you?
Why aren't you submitting this work?
Yeah. And they seem to not give a darn about this student. And so if you're out there, I got a call coming in right now. I'd love to hear from you about your experience at Blackboard. So let me bring that up right away because it's affecting this poor guy. He spent an entire fall semester and now he's got his F's because they said he wasn't there, but he was. Hey, Debbie in West Granby, what do you got for me on Blackboard?
Hi, I'm a professor at a community college.
Yeah.
And just to let you know, I run into this issue all the time. If they have a Chromebook or sometimes they use another program other than Microsoft Word to do their work.
Yep.
Right?
That's what he did.
It doesn't upload the way it should. So I always tell them, okay, you have to go over to the tech department. The tech department usually helps them out.
Yeah.
So, and then they're, you know, then it's all set. And if for some reason, and I only had this happen once,
actually
it was straightened out, so it's not even worth mentioning.
Yeah.
They straighten them out and it works in there. But it usually has to go through Microsoft Word. So the student you're talking about probably didn't check Blackboard for his grades to see where he was at. He probably never checked that. And
right.
The second thing, if he did all his work, and I'm not saying if he did or didn't, I have no clue.
I'm going to say he did.
All right, let's say he did. He probably should have done it in Microsoft Word.
But that's neither here nor there, Debbie. So with your community college, do you guys offer any kind of receipt for submission? Do you guys, if you're doing an online course and you've got 20 students and one of them paid and never shows up online, would you reach out?
Well, my class is not online, but I use Blackboard. Okay, so I don't know what an online professor does. I don't know what their thing is.
Yeah.
But for me, usually I send them emails. I try to contact them.
Right.
Because I happen to teach freshmen.
Yep.
And freshmen, you know, they're just transitioning in and all
right.
this.
Right.
And you know, many of my colleagues do the same thing. I would have to say.
I would agree that they should, right? I mean, he's got four courses. Again, he was online doing all the work through Blackboard, but you're right. He did not use Word. We asked him if he did the work in Word and then submitted it. He did it through the editor that was allowed through Blackboard. So he thinks he's online. I don't know about checking grades or what he bothered to do checking his grades. Yeah. He's a good student. He's a very good student. I guess he assumed he was doing well. But nobody reached out to him, and they're making him prove that he did the work now, which is very difficult to do.
I don't know about that situation. I can't comment on that situation.
Yeah.
I can only comment about what I do.
Yeah.
But after a certain point, you know, when you do reach out to students, they have to reach back, too.
He didn't know he had a problem. Remember, he's just happily logged on as he thinks he's doing everything correctly and doing his work, and they're not getting anything from him. So they said they worked through Blackboard to message him, which is obviously the problem, rather than emailing him or calling him. I mean, you spend thousands of bucks on tuition.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, though. I usually mention them, do it through messaging, too.
But if that's the problem system, how are you going to actually communicate?
Well, they usually, my students, they don't really have too much problem because they usually check in or, you know, you reach out other ways to, you know, email. A lot of times my students will email me just through the email system.
Yep.
And then I can email them back, like if they have a Gmail account or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you seem to be a more conscientious professor, which is great.
I teach freshmen, remember, you know, and I kind of reach out to them. But the other thing is I do think that students have to take a little responsibility here now.
Yes.
Even try to check his grades. Because if you're not checking your grades and you're just going along, think you're doing well, you have to stop and think, oh, wait a minute, let me check in, see how my grades are. And then you yourself catch it right away.
Yep.
So, you know,
but the funny thing,
he is responsible for
his
own, you know, education going forward. So,
but you get four professors, so four classes, four professors. None of them alerted him. None.
Well, that was on him to check his grades, really. You know.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it depends upon the professor. Depends on whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, if I teach freshmen, I kind of recognize that. But you know, and I reach out to them, and if they don't reach back, well.
Yeah, well, I mean,
if they're not checking their grades, mm-hmm. you know, too. It's also on them.
Oh, there is obviously, it takes two.
A partnership.
Of course. There has to be a partnership. I agree completely. I mean, I've gone to many a college fair with my three boys, and the line we're fed as parents is, we care about your students. We're going to help them succeed, help them. And this is not an example of that. I agree that he should have maybe used that tool to see what his grades are, if that tool's in there. I don't know about it. I've never played with this software. But I still strongly feel that one of the four professors could have said, hey, buddy, where are you? With something other than messaging within Blackboard, some other method of communication. But Debbie, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, sure. So I hope that helps them anyway, so next time moving forward to check my grades.
What about receipts, though? When a person submits an actual paper to you, did they get an email receipt saying, hey, I submitted it?
I grade it right – not grade, but I check it right there. You know, I go through, I kind of edit it and send it back, and it goes right back to them.
Within the Blackboard system or within the email?
Through the Blackboard system.
That's the problem. Yeah, but nothing outside the Blackboard system, right?
I don't do that. No, Blackboard's a really good system if you hone into it. I think the other thing is too. I don't know what other people do. I can't speak for them.
Yeah.
But in the beginning of the semester, they usually have, so students can go and learn about Blackboard. And usually in my class, I go over Blackboard with them.
Yes.
You know, and I show them my stuff, and I do it like two or three times because I know that it's all new. You know, and they are freshmen. In my case. They're freshmen.
Yeah, in this case, he's a senior level student that had to take some home courses. So he never actually set foot in a classroom. So he never. So this was purely online, cloud based education from soup to nuts. So
yeah, that's a little harder. I don't know anything about the. You know, I don't do computer. I don't do online classes. I took a survey a few years ago when I was on vacation. And I asked a group of people, actually over by. Woods Hole.
Yeah.
You know, I was sitting there and I asked a bunch of people, they were just sitting in the cafe and I said, excuse me, you know, I kind of interrupted. I said, excuse me, how many here have taken online classes? How many? And I found that most of them said they've taken online and that was okay, but they also liked the hybrid ones because they like the communication with people.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
you know, that's another thing I feel we're losing in our society is this communication thing, you know?
Oh, I hear you.
For another show.
It is, Debbie.
And, and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much for chiming in.
Yep, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. So there's a professor who has had an issue, but minor issues with Blackboard. If you've had issues as a student where you thought you submitted Blackboard classes, I'd love to hear it, because the cloud ate this poor guy's homework completely. All four classes, he's gotten an F because they said he never participated, even though he was online participating. His parents saw him, and now he's got to prove he was. And the college is saying, "Hey, we have is a few logins here of you, and then you went away, and that's it. Crickets is all you have. Nobody called him. Nobody emailed him."
Call in and we'll move you to the front of the line.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. So we're going to step out for a quick break, get to your call. Sherry and Stan, this is Computer Talk with Tab. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have one line open for you. And if you're a student who's used the Blackboard software and gotten burned, yes, I agree with that last professor. He should check to see how he's doing. Can't argue that there's not a 50-50 ownership here, but it does seem a little odd that four professors wouldn't say, hey, buddy, you're really doing bad here. You haven't logged in. Can we help you? That never happened. Let's go to Sherry in West Hartford. Hey, Sherry, what's up?
Hey, hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I had a problem that I finally figured out, and I wanted to run it by you in case anybody else has this problem.
All right.
Okay. I have a Dell computer running Windows 7 Pro.
Yeah.
And I got this warning on my computer saying that I had low disk space, which I was surprised at because we have a 232 gigabyte hard disk and we hardly really use it.
But 232 gigs is really, really tiny.
Yeah, not for us.
All right. Well, the operating system takes up a lot of that space. But go ahead. What's your...
Yeah. Well, here's what happened.
Yeah.
So I looked around and I said, well, I'll just delete some old files I have and some pictures and open up some space. It opened up some space, 0.98 gigabytes, right?
Yeah.
And then I checked a little bit later and it was up down to 906 megabytes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the warning again for the disk.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I'll run the Norton full scan. Maybe I have a virus. Mm. I ran the Norton, and I noticed it was taking forever, and it was stuck on a file that it was looking at, Norton 360.
It was looking at itself?
Yes.
Yeah, I
come to find out Norton has a backup, and it was taking up 135 gigabytes.
Yeah, we're not big fans of it. So it backed up itself, 135 gig. Wait, yeah, half of your drive space
was
backed up?
Exactly.
To itself. That's not really a backup. That's kind of like, that's really kind of stupid to back up a drive to yourself. Anyways.
And who knew? So yeah. I already have a hard drive, a portable hard drive anyway. So I deleted that file,
nice.
And now I have 131 gigabytes.
Yeah, you've got a lot of free space.
I have a lot of free space.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we've seen antivirus, old-fashioned antivirus software like Norton do all sorts of really bad things. That's why we don't recommend them anymore.
I couldn't believe it. Now, let me ask you, well, as long as you brought up this problem, 232 gigabytes then is not, I mean, we really obviously don't need all of it to begin with, but what would be, because we're looking for a new computer, what kind of a hard drive and what kind of capacity would you recommend?
Well, 1,000 gigs by default is where you'd start generally.
Really?
That's a terabyte.
Yeah.
A terabyte.
Yeah, 1,000 gigs, and that's going to cost you $80. I get more drive space on my phone than you have in your current computer.
I don't rub it in. All right, I'll keep that in mind. But obviously, I still have plenty of space for what I need it for.
For what you—that's the key. For what you need it for.
Right.
If you upgraded, I mean, you know, the new versions of Windows 10 confiscate 7 gigs of space now to help with their updates alone. So I mean, the amount of space that's being consumed by these operating systems is massive. So even that terabyte, what's the drive space capacity of Windows 10 now? What do they grab when you load Windows 10?
Well, I don't know. I think it's like 90 gigs.
90.
Or something.
Yeah.
So really?
You're gonna grab 10% of your drive space just to have the operating system.
I think I'll stay with Windows 7 as long as they have it.
Sure, go for it.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks a lot. Anybody else looking, that it could be that 360 file.
All right, thanks, Sherry.
Sure.
Bye. All right, bye-bye. A little tip from the folks out in the radio land. Let's go on to Stan in Norwich next. Morning, Stan.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
I have a slight problem.
Of course.
Morning, I picked up a browser hijacker called s.yimg.com, and I cannot get rid of it. I've run every malware problem, antivirus that I have. Nothing takes care of this bloody thing.
So basically, you're getting s.yimg.com. It's a Yahoo problem, right?
Well, I have no idea. I've checked out on online. All it does is come up to a blank page.
Yeah, it comes out as what I see when I do this. It looks like a Yahoo issue.
Okay.
Are you using Yahoo for some reason?
Well, AT&T Yahoo.mail.
Yeah, so it's not a hijack. It's an issue with Yahoo.
I tried it with my Firefox. It's on that. I tried it with Chrome. It's on that.
No, you're not. So you're misunderstanding. So you're actually confirming my point. If it's on every one of those browsers, it's not a hijack. It's this cloud service that has a problem. When I type in s.yimg.com, it says Yahoo will be right back. Thank you for your patience. Engineers are working quickly to resolve this issue. So it looks to me like your cloudy Yahoo service has got a problem. What do you think, Bob?
Because I just happened to
say
the first time.
Well, the first time is it's the first time. I don't think you're hijacked. If every one of your browsers is doing this.
Yeah.
Your account within Yahoo is displaying some sort of problem, and according to Yahoo, they'll be right back. Now, you can always, if you think there is a browser hijack, you can go clear your cache. You can go to all those browsers and clear your cache. If it's just a basic little browser hijack, you know, kind of an innocuous one, you can clear your cache, change your default page to, let's say, Google, right, and see if that's going to clear it up. If you can get to Google. I assume you can get to Google right now if you type in google.com.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So you can go anywhere you want. A browser hijack would force you back to something else because it would be a hijack. It would say, no, Stan, you must go here. That's what a hijack is. In your case, you can go anywhere you want. It's just when you happen to go to Yahoo, you have this thing showing up, which to me seems like an error at Yahoo.
It only happens occasionally. I mean, it doesn't happen every time I go to Yahoo.
Right. It's their service most likely having a problem, Stan. It's them.
I thought, I didn't know what I thought when I saw it this morning. Like I said, first thing, it happened this morning, and I've got, you know, open DNS,
yeah,
all
yeah,
that
yeah.
on
I think you're clear. I think you're completely fine. I just think the service is down for you.
I went into my Windows 10 permissions, website permissions, and I actually deleted it from the permissions, but it's still there.
Well, again, it's not you. It's them. They're delivering it to you because when you go to Yahoo, because that's probably your default page, right?
Yes, it was.
When you go to that page, they're delivering you this error message. So you can delete it all you want, but if they're having an issue or an outage or down, you can't stop that. So clear your cache, your browser cache, like I said.
Yep.
Set your default to google.com and see if you come up every time clean there. It's not a browser hijack. It's a problem with you, Yahoo.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. I'm going to give that a shot.
All right, Stan. Good luck.
Yep.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, sometimes it's them. You know, you've heard the thing, it's you, it's not me. In this case, it's me, it's them, it's not you. We're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. This is Computer Talk with Tab. If you're a student, or maybe if you're a professor out there and you've had online courses through Blackboard, and you found some students that thought they did all the work on Blackboard, and then their classes never, the data never got to the right spot within the Blackboard system, clearly, and you ended up having to give them an F, and you found out that there's an issue with the Blackboard software, I'd love to hear from you. 800-966-WTIC. 522-WTIC, because I've got a friend whose son is dealing with this right now, and they don't know what to do to prove they did the work. We'll be right back. And we are back. So, I'm a big fan of the Netflix series Narcos, and this isn't the theme from Narcos, Mexico. And then I saw this... I saw this article on The Register, one of my favorite IT blogs out there in the UK, and the headline, "Who Cracked El Chapo's Encrypted Chats and Brought Down the Mexican Drug Kingpin?" His IT guy. So it's a perfect thing, right? So basically, El Chapo, we know who this guy is, right? He's a very notorious drug kingpin, runs a Mexican drug cartel.
He's in jail.
Yes. Well, he escapes all the time. I mean, he
could dig a hole and have people dig him out.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody ever catches
no,
him.
No, no. El Chapo, where'd he go? I don't know. I don't know where he went.
And they dig him out for free.
Yeah. So in this case, the IT guy brought him down because now in this trial, they're hearing all sorts of calls that were made between El Chapo his folks. You know, the trial heard several recordings, but starting this week, the prosecutors started playing more, in which Guzman discussed cocaine deals, warned his bodyguard not to kill policemen, and even had a brief conversation with a corrupt cop commander who he had just put on the payroll. So this is all something that El Chapo used an IT guy to produce a encrypted network so that he could make phone calls encrypted and the authorities couldn't hear them, right? They're encrypted. So what happened here was there was a call that was made to one of El Chapo's guys called Fuentes. And Fuentes was complaining that his network was down. Now, this call was unencrypted, so the FBI heard it. And they heard this guy named Rodriguez chime in saying, "Hey, buddy, I'm happy to get your network back up and running. You got to buy a computer. And then I'll set up the encrypted network again." So the FBI found out who this Rodriguez guy was because of this unencrypted call they caught because this guy's network was down. Of course, Fuentes there was complaining about the fact that when he gets the network in place, he's whining about the fact that you got to use large passwords, it's too difficult to use the security, you know, like every other user we see in our world complaining about security. This guy's complaining to his IT guy.
"I don't want to use a long password to protect my millions of illegal dollars."
I know. It's crazy. Or legal dollars, because we hear it as well in our business world here. But the funny thing is, so then what happens is, obviously the IT guy isn't getting paid enough because the FBI poses as a Russian gangster who wants to set up the same kind of network. So this Rodriguez guy meets with this Russian gangster, who turns out to be, I guess, an FBI agent, and starts talking to him about setting up this network, realizes, "Hey, wait a minute, this is the guy we want to use now." The FBI says, "Hey, I'm going to go ahead and flip Rodriguez so that we can now listen in, tap cartel's messages.
You mean to tell me that El Chapo wasn't smart enough to have an exclusive contract with this guy?
Exactly. You got to pay your guy enough. Now, this is another issue even in small businesses where they've got this maybe one IT guy internally who's working, maybe you got a 50-person company and you've got your one IT guy. I mean, he's got the keys to your castle, guys. So make sure he's happy or understand he's got the keys to your castle, because El Chapo didn't understand that. And clearly Rodriguez either was super greedy, and maybe he was being paid well by the Mexican cartel, because literally if you screw up there, you die in bad ways. So the FBI flips this guy, and Rodriguez moves their encrypted network from Canada. It was all being hosted in Canada to the Netherlands. The moment they did that, he gave this FBI the encryption keys so they can log in now and listen to all the calls. And, of course, they have these amazing calls with all the evil stuff that El Chapo was doing. So the moral of the story is, pay your IT guys well, or understand they could bring you down if you're a bad guy. And I'll put a link up here to the story. It's pretty funny.
Or your data could just evaporate.
Oh, poof.
Or it could show up someplace unintended.
Like what happened in Germany, right? Remember what happened in Germany? They all got doxxed. Some guy hacked into all the German politicians and released all their data. So we'll put it up there for you to read. It's kind of interesting. So feel free to get online. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And also, if you've used Blackboard software as a student and somehow, some way, you lost your data and the college said you didn't take the work, do the work, even though you did, I'd love to hear from you. Let's get right to your calls. So we're going to go to Paul in Litchfield first. Hey, Paul. Paul, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just getting off the road. I got a question about Windows Defender.
Yes, sir.
I keep getting these these messages telling me that Windows Defender has stopped such and such from making changes to my memory.
Good.
The programs that's stopping to make the changes are Malwarebytes.
Oh, they're fighting with each other.
Cleaner.
Yep.
What's that?
They're fighting with each other, it sounds like.
How do I stop that? Can you throw a link up that I can check out later when I'm done working?
Well, you have too many things running. So Windows Defender is an antivirus program, but so is Malwarebytes, right? Did you pay for it? Malwarebytes?
No, I did not. No, it's the free Malwarebytes, and I keep it on my computer and use it periodically.
They're conflicting with each other, it sounds like.
It's got to be running.
Yeah.
You got to look down in your system tray, see if it's running an exit out of Malwarebytes.
Yeah, don't leave it running, because you can't really have two running at the same time. They can conflict. And so what Defender is doing is banging into those tools. It's also slowing your system down by having all of them running. So I would turn off CC Cleaner, turn off Malwarebytes, or even uninstall them both. And just let Windows Defender run if you're going to choose that as your antivirus. Don't have multiple antivirus programs.
Okay.
That's easy enough.
Very much.
All right, Paul. Good luck.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, too much antivirus is not a good thing.
Well, typically when you have two, it slows your PC down to a crawl.
Yeah.
And I've seen PCs with as many as four.
Running at the same time.
Yeah, running at the same time.
You're not extra safe. You're not extra safe at all.
Yeah, why is my computer so slow?
That's way too much medicine. Let's go on to Rich in New Haven. Hey, Rich.
Hello.
Hello. What can we do for you, sir?
Yes, I'm getting, I have a network connection, Windows 7, two computers. One's a laptop, one's a PC desktop type. And today, for the first time, I'm getting what they call a network error. Windows cannot access the other computer. I get that on both ways. And the error code is 0x800700035. I've looked it up on Google, and there's lots of different suggestions, but I don't know if any of those things, because they require a download, are safe. And if you guys have any other type workaround. I've done I can see that I could probably restore, but it says, you know, I have one restore point on one computer and the other one shows several.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if you've seen this kind of thing where they don't connect. I can see them on Explorer.
Yeah. Oh, you can see them? You can see them as available devices?
Oh, yeah. And
there's no red X there?
And they're in the network map.
All right.
But when I click on them, I get this...
path not found.
Well, yeah, network error, check your spelling and all this other stuff, and you diagnose and nothing happens.
Right, so both...
I've recycled both powers and all that, and all the powers for the network
equipment
and everything.
All right, so can you get to the internet from both of them?
Yes.
All right, so the network is up. It looks to me like your share was lost, like the path you shared wasn't It needs to be reactivated, I'm guessing. What do you think, Bob?
I think you're right, and I actually have a link for us to post that with the fix.
So, oh, you do?
Yeah, you're going to go back and double-check that the resource is properly shared. That resource got unshared somehow, maybe through a Windows update or some change.
More likely an update.
Yeah, I did the updates this week on both of them.
Oh, and that's when this happened, right?
Well, no. It was okay yesterday after the did the updates, but then to this morning, for the first time I've ever had this happen, it didn't.
Interesting. I'm guessing it's a sharing issue in that the resource is no longer shared. You need to reshare it the way you did originally.
One of the computers. On
whichever one you're making, quote-unquote, the master or the one that you're looking to the data for. I assume you don't have data on both of them that you're crossing, right? You're only going to one?
I can go typically either way.
Okay. You got to share either way then.
But this time, but I established it all with the desktop one. It's an HP 6005.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's a Dell laptop. But
yeah.
I've never had any trouble with it before.
Well, welcome to our world, Bob. you've already checked out networking hardware. You can surf the internet, so the network is working.
Yes.
Your issue is the resource isn't available for whatever reason, and I'm guessing it's a sharing issue or maybe even a permission. Yeah, so you did the update on the Windows 7, and maybe it applied new security permissions that you need to reapply to the resource.
Okay.
Oh, we found a security hole here. Let's fix it.
Yeah.
So I can follow your suggestion on your
Yeah, it should work. Yeah, it should work if this is the cause of the problem. It could be, like you said, numerous things that could be the cause, but this is where we would start.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them listed when you look at that code, and I don't know if they are required downloading something to fix the files.
So, well, fix the files. Sometimes Microsoft does have a quote-unquote fix-it utility.
No. These just require you going in and looking at the settings and fixing the settings.
Yeah.
So you don't need to download anything.
Great.
I found two links. One's Microsoft and one's something else, but it's the one that something else has some nice screenshots, so it's easier to follow.
Oh, very good.
When you start downloading stuff from the internet, we get nervous.
So do I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Rich. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break. Bob, hang on. Stick around. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. If you've dealt with Blackboard software, online courses, I want to hear from you. If you're a student who's done the work and then didn't get credit for it online, the cloud ate your homework, per se, give me a ring. I'd love to hear from you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC.
What about businesses that may have lost
data in the cloud.
Give us a call.
Yeah, well, there's that too. We know that exists, but this is another example of you're the actual customer logging into the cloudy portal, and the school is like, oh, we don't see you did the work. So, yeah, sorry.
Got your head in the cloud.
Yeah, we'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. Three lines open for you. Feel free to get online. We'll do our best to help you out. And if you've had any trouble with online courses, I'm reading some of the stuff from Blackboard. And Blackboard has a three-hour time limit. And sessions will time out after 90 minutes of inactivity. Web browsers do not register typing activity. If you're typing an assignment, assessment, or discussion submission for longer than 90 minutes, the session may time out when you submit it. And you'll lose all your work. There's the cloud for you. So, of course, they tell you to prevent lost work, work locally on a word processing program. Now, kind of, it's like counterintuitive. Use the cloud. We're out there. Come on, use the cloud. Put your stuff out in the cloud. But make sure when you actually do your work, do it locally. I mean, it's completely backwards to what they're trying to push. And now you got to prove that you did the work. So it does make sense to make sure you protect yourself from the cloud. Do your work locally. But then, of course, you get to back up your work locally, because if you have a problem where they can't find you, your stuff in the cloud, and then your computer fails, well, you're still out of luck. You got to prove your cloud didn't eat your homework. Let's go to Bob in Middlebury first. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine.
Hey, I've had a solid-state drive in my my desktop for a couple of years now.
Nice.
And it was only a half a terabyte, which was fine for me. I use all external storage for everything else except for the operating system and the few programs I have.
Nice.
But it was getting filled up a little bit. So it's unbelievable what a solid-state drive does for your computer.
It
starts up like it faster than my phone.
Yep.
It programs open instantaneously. It was unbelievable.
Yep.
So I want to stay with the solid-state. So I've been looking for one on sale, and I got a Samsung terabyte, 1 terabyte solid state drive.
Nice.
And they have their own software for migrating or cloning the drive, and it works excellent.
Okay.
Really, it just works excellent.
Good.
But I want to take the old 0.5 terabyte and put it in my laptop, and I'm having a hard time. It's a PNY, and I can't find any. I tried. You can't use Samsung's. It only works on their own drives.
Hmm.
And I can't find something. I tried something. I downloaded, and it just keeps failing. Do you know of any good migration software for? Or it's a PNY. They don't even have anything on their website for.
Well, are you saying, Bob, that is the drive being recognized by the laptop as a drive?
Well, it does when you use the software. I can only see it when I use the migration software. Even though it goes through the whole thing, it looks like it's working. At the very end, it says it failed on the software that I was using.
But within the BIOS, when you plug that hard drive into the laptop, does the BIOS register that drive?
Geez, I'm not real technical, you know.
Okay.
The fact that he's got software sees it,
yeah,
it's got to be showing up in the BIOS.
Yeah. Now,
do you know of any good goods that I'd like to get it for free? But I mean, I doubt you have to pay for it. I can't remember how I did it because I did the PNY a couple years ago when I bought it the first time. But
you're just
remember.
Loading. You have a blank drive now, right? Did you format the drive?
I didn't format it. You recommend formatting before you try to clone it?
Well, so the laptop.
No, you don't need to format it because
it'll do that on its own,
what it'll do is it'll do a block by block. Copy. If you use a disk cloning or disk copy software,
right, like a Cronus or even the one that came with the Samsung.
Yeezus makes one.
Yeezus, yep. Yeezus is pretty good.
Yeah, but PNY didn't come with one, and they don't have one online that I could see. But these you got to buy. The ones you're referring to, I'm sure.
Maybe not. Bob's got an idea.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I got one for you to try that we use, and it's very good. It's Clonezilla.
Clonezilla, did you hear him?
Homezilla?
Clonezilla.
Acronis works well. Yeezus works well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other ones. But
so you're trying to clone whatever was on the old laptop hard drive to this new the old solid state now, right?
To the old solid state, which still has everything on it. But like you said, it'll
clear it up.
Format.
It should.
The only problem I had with doing the new one with the 1 terabyte on my desktop is it sees two operating systems when it starts. And it takes a while to start and flickers back and forth. Then it finally comes up and says, which operating system do you want to use? They're both... Windows 10 Pro, but one's on one block, one's on another block. I'm wondering if it didn't eliminate my existing. There was nothing existing. That was a new drive.
Right.
Well, actually, I did. I was going to put that in my laptop, so I did clone it to my laptop. So I said, well, it's a bigger drive. I'll put it on my desktop. So it did have a previous clone on there, but. I don't hope. I wouldn't leave them both on there.
It should format it and start fresh.
Well, if it sees one, it may have a hard time figuring out which one to boot up to.
Then, worst case, you format it.
There's a way to figure out if it's on there. It is twice the size now.
Well,
twice as much info on that drive now because it was a quarter of a terabyte. Now it's a 0.5 terabyte. So it did leave something on there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should be able to tell because it'll give you a different brand and a part number for each drive. Plus, it'll give you the capacity.
So
if you know your primary drive that you want to use as a source drive is 250 gigs,
right.
And the one that you want to clone to is 500, you can see just pick by size.
Oh, I know that. I'm just wondering if it kept the old information when I cloned it with the Samsung software, if it kept – there was a previous clone on that drive. So I wonder if it kept it on because it doubled the size of that drive. It was supposed to only be about a quarter of a gig.
Right.
And now it's a quarter of a terabyte. Now it's about a 0.5 terabyte.
Yeah.
But anyways, the main thing is I just want to get that other one.
Yeah, we'll put a link up to some Clonezilla software. Bob, is that free?
Yes, it is.
All right, so you can try
that. Another thing is, how come I can't get you guys on Home Google? Hey, Google, I don't want to say it because you're going to listen to me.
The radio station?
I see on there. It would have been so nice to get it on there, you know?
I don't know. You should be able to... Ask Google to play us. It depends on how you phrase it.
I get all the other stations, but TIC doesn't come on.
I don't know. We don't have the. We almost should have on our walls in here what the phrases are for each of the smart microphones in your houses, so that you can play the radio stations. So we don't have them here, but there are specific phrases that you can say that have a better shot. What do you think, Bob? You use the Google, right?
I use Google, but. Well, my wife knows what to do, but
with the phrases.
With the phrases, but
should be a. It's a password.
I got a I got to use Bluetooth to get you guys because it's only on radio.com that I can find you. So.
Well, maybe you can just say, hey, Google Play, radio.com. I don't know.
Yeah, try it all. That doesn't work.
Man. I don't know.
Well, doesn't radio.com have exclusive to WTIC? I'm pretty sure they do.
Mm. It's a Rube Goldberg approach to radio, I'll tell you, Bob. Just flip on the old radio.
Well, it's the reason I listen to TSC a lot because it just doesn't come in.
Oh, you're in Middlebury. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I
good
love
point.
Having, using online all the time.
Yeah. There's an FM station. You can use 96.5 HD2. Have you tried that?
No, 92. What is
96.5, which is the big, TIC FM station, mm-hmm. HD2. So if you have an HD radio and you go to the second channel on it, you can go ahead and listen to Ray Dunaway in all his glory and high definition. He sounds literally like Optimus Prime.
It's an excellent station.
Yeah, 96.5 HD2. All right?
All right. Thanks a lot.
You got it, Bob. If we get that command, we'll let you guys know as to what you call your smart microphone sitting in your house listening to you, how to play our station. We'll be right back.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.